In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, hunger has inspired a resourceful, if macabre, solution, turning death itself into a food source. On hive worlds where millions die daily, the only alternative to starvation and plague is to grind the dead into a gray, paste-like ration known as corpse starch. This nutrient-rich, though decidedly flavor-poor, paste is the Imperium's greatest recycling program. It disposes of the innumerable dead and feeds the living with the same efficiency a commissar fires a squad. The Emperor protects, and on Hive Primus, he protects everyone from missing lunch. Entire worlds devote their wastes to this grim diet. Instead of farming fields, some hive worlds obsessively harvest cadavers. The necropolis cities of Necromunda and others churn with conveyor belts and vats of enzymes. What falls from the warp of war becomes a commodity. One Imperial report dryly notes that, in certain underhive factories, poor quality meals are nothing but corpse starch. To meet insatiable demand, the death cult of efficiency, officially the Mercator Pallidus, or Corpse Guild, has built an empire on corpses. They claim it's more efficient than throwing bodies into mass graves, but mostly they just don't like waste. Beneath towering spires, the Mercator Pallidus, Corpse Guild, orchestrates the whole operation. This powerful Merchants Guild branch handles every step of the chain. Its motto might as well be, "Nothing goes to waste, including you." When a citizen dies on Necromunda, or on any hive world with a discerning Departmento Munitorum, this guild's agents arrive fast. A corpse once promised nothing. Now it promises a few more spoonfuls of gruel for the Emperor's faithful. To break it down, Mercator Pallidus, Corpse Guild, oversees the processing of a world's dead into edible paste. By decree, they run the morgues, the grinders, and the ration tins. Their slogans could include, "Fresh from last week's battle," or "Waste not a single meal." Pale consorts, high-ranking guild mistresses who lead corpse-harvesting parties, clad in ceremonial robes and gas masks, they traverse battlefields and hive depths to claim the freshest bodies. They decide which corpses are fit for the grinder, as any emperor-trusting bureaucrat would. Bone scriveners, stern record keepers, and surgeons who accompany the harvest. These were once Medici apprentices. Now they tally the fallen like accountants. They literally count the calories in a corpse, noting every limb chopped and how many rations it yields. Corpse grinders, hulking laborers with chainsaws and cleavers for hands. They do the actual butchery. A corpse grinder will carve a body faster than a rat at an offal pile, hacking flesh from bones so it fits into vats. You can spot one by the stripes of dried blood on their apron. Like any chef's uniform, really. Death on the hive. Soldiers, workers, and gangsters die constantly in the underhive or on battlefields. Pale consorts and bone scriveners swoop in, selecting the bodies. They strain to keep face masks on. The smell is legendary, while poking and prodding carcasses to judge freshness. If a ganger died with a mouthful of live grenades or a prize loaf of bread, all the better. Suitable corpses are loaded onto carts. Non-edible scraps, ruined limbs, two siliconized implants, etc., get left behind. Even the poor get a second chance at use. Stray pets, factory critters, and fungus blooms sometimes join the mix as supplements. Though Uncle Boris is the main menu. In grim factories, corpse grinders and servitors feed bodies into colossal protein reclamators. Think of a slaughterhouse crossbred with a fuel refinery. Bones are boiled, tissues fermented, and membranes filtered. What comes out is a gray gelatinous mush, the base of corpse starch. This paste is often canned or formed into biscuits. The Munitorum then distributes it to sectors, every starving hive city, every commissar's salt ration, even some poor guardsmen who missed their Groxmeat ration. Nothing is wasted. The battle dead feed the living, turning tragedy into lunch. A pale consort oversees the harvest with cold efficiency. These officials, in mask and robes, lead the corpse collection teams. They inspect the dead like sommelier judging wine. Rich chest wound, a dash of rot. This one's for Batch B, right-hand freezer. For everyone else, it's called necrophilia. To them, it's posthumous public service. The coral tendril skull staff she carries is both a symbol of office and a handy stabilizer for hefting body bags. By evening, with the pickings collected, the crew marches back to the processing plant. There, corpse grinders take over. These muscle-bound workers perform a dance with death that makes even a chainsword spin proud. Using serrated blades and bone saws, they segment bodies into meat, fat, and tough tissue. Scenes inside these factories make butcher shops seem quaint. There are vats of bubbling enzymes that melt flesh off skulls, blenders that liquefy muscle, and conveyors carrying trays of chopped limbs. Every part of the corpse is considered raw material. A spare kidney might become cheap protein, a skull crushed into calcium supplement, and skin rendered for industrial gelatin. Corpse grinders are the blue-collar backbone of this industry. They have forearms like gorillas from cutting bone, and they wield their tools with grim smiles. The heavyset ganger on the right is literally described as corpse grinder, muscle-bound, built for slaughter in service of dinner. Watching one work is like watching a war dance, precise, ruthless, without pause. When they're done, the bones and sinew that can't be used go through a bone mill or get fed to Grok's livestock. Even those serves the underlying efficiency. The resulting flesh slurry is sent through a protein reclamator, a Mechanicus-designed machine that breaks it down to nutrients. Out pops a bland paste. It looks like gray wallpaper paste and smells mildly of sour fear. In taste tests, it ranks somewhere between boiled shoe leather and mud pudding. The Departamento Munitorum still insists it meets standard quality on the nutrition scale, which is only slightly better than drawn bowels. If you dare ask how it tastes, the standard advice is don't. A commissar once famously said a grunt who complained about flavor was seditious, and promptly added a few years to the poor fool's sentence. Gratitude for any calories is required, even if they came from Aunt Hilda. Even spaceborne Gates can't mask the fact that corpse starch is civilian food. It was originally conceived to feed hive world masses, but its use spread far and wide. Some Imperial Guard regiments end up issued tins of it when their supply lines falter. Special Forces missions on Abaddon have recorded emergency rations, one bar of decomposed infantryman protein paste. The Adeptus Mechanicus even condones adding extras. Cultists have been caught fermenting leftovers into weak hooch or mixing in algae to boost nutrition. Tech priests call it flavor enhancement. One guild trader humorously dubbed it St. Jabber's Surprise Stew when he traded a tin on a whim. Worst of all, the people living on hive worlds sometimes choke it down for generations, raising myths around it. Propaganda posters ironically show smiling families eating pale slurry under the caption, "Not just sustenance, a legacy." Side eye from every parent. A cynical advertisement on Necromunda boasts delicious dead dairy treat, meaning it blends human milk. Children who survive the orphan pens grow up thinking this paste is normal oatmeal. Across worlds, similar stories abound. Entire planet's citizens might never see real meat, only meat analogs of corpse-spliced bread and soup. sacrificial remains become communal porridge. Technically, corpse starch is for humans only. You won't find orcs or Eldar in it. They use Grox meat and wraithbone cakes instead. But humans dominate the Imperium, so every dead Imperial body is a valid ingredient. Xenos tech is banned anyway, so only human biology is recycled legally. There is a fringe exception. Soylent's Viridians, a Mechanicus vat food of green algae, sometimes gets blended into the mix to add vitamins. Some joke that they snuck in enemy corpses during sieges. But the core remains human bodies. In effect, the Imperium has institutionalized cannibalism, provided no one admits what it is. To the overseers, this is thrift, not taboo. The economic logic is chillingly simple. Agri-worlds grow grain and grox, but hive-worlds rely on recycling. The Adeptus Administratum calculates that disposing of 1 million corpses safely would cost more than feeding the Imperium for a week. Instead, they compute that those 1 million dead can produce thousands of tons of starch. If you excavate the dead rather than bury them, you kill two problems with one blade. Humanity doesn't starve, and the city doesn't become a plague pit. Logistics-wise, it's an unstoppable loop. War begets corpses. Corpses beget starch. Starch sustains the war. Bulk shipping of corpse starch across space isn't economical, so each major hive city runs its own factory. Even moons and asteroid stations, used as cemeteries, have grinder outposts. For example, the hives of the Gilead system keep a cemetery moon, stocked with fresh corpses ferried from battlefronts. It has a giant shredder complex orbiting it. This stands next to the fleets carrying canned corpse starch back to shipyards and manufactorums, because even Starfleet officers need food. A bone scrivener scribbles tally in the ledger. Corpse numbered 845, broodmother carcass, yields 12 servings. These clerks manage the paperwork. The image shows one such grim accountant in a carved bone helmet and quill. They ensure everything is documented. If a body is lost or stolen, it's a serious audit issue. Even ritual matters. When a chapter master eulogizes fallen space marines, he still must order how many bodies go to honor guard versus rations. The bureaucratic rigor of these scribes would make the Administratum weep with pride. Customers of corpse starch range from the lowest citizen to the loftiest warlord. Underhive workers eat it daily so that their overseers can feast on imported caviar. The two classes define hungry. Imperial Guard commissaries might slip a ration of corpse paste into the weekly menu with no fanfare. Some regiments actually cultivate a sense of pride. Mock songs circulate about how our fallen feed the Emperor's dinner. Even modesty books, official food-grade cookbooks, include recipes. For weak stomachs, add spice, or corpse starch stew, now with edible fungus. If a homeworld ever attempted independence, one threat of the Adeptus Terra would be cutting off the corpse starch shipments. Of course, this all sounds extremely grimdark, and it is. Everywhere, people whisper behind mask and heavily voiced helmets that they're eating Uncle Greg. But superstitions abound too. Some cultists believe the spirit of the slain lives on in each tin. Others say it's blessed by the Emperor's sainted body, because apparently he enjoyed a spot of irony. The ecclesiarchy stays silent on the matter. It's generally known that complaining about the paste is a thought crime. In some sectors, it's punishable by assigning the complainer to a sandblaster duty, where they get no rations at all, or worse, fresh rats stew. In this strange economy, criticizing the menu might land you in a mass grave rather than on one. On the menu, it might be called nutrient gel or something scientific, but even hardened soldiers joke that it tastes like the Emperor's love. The consensus: it is the Emperor's essential water purifier. If propaganda was honest, cans would read beef, 100% beefless. Quality control is minimal. A famous, though likely apocryphal, story has a regiment's kitchen officer adding cayenne and telling his troops, "Be grateful, it's protein." A commissar once averted a mutiny by declaring that eating it was their religious duty. They had to nod politely and eat another bite. Logistics-wise, corpse starch is trivially cheap to produce in context. Large-scale body digesters operate continuously. On Necromunda, the Corpse Guild is among the wealthiest of the Hive Guilds. They literally monetize death. Bodies arrive like cargo. They're weighed, logged, and auctioned by weight. If a private gang finds them, it's a thing. The processing plants are colossal. Entire districts of the Hive are given over to grinding furnaces and blender vats. Survivors trade anything for a full belly, so the guild's market extends into trade with off-world worlds in dire straits. The billion worlds of the Imperium aren't all Hive worlds, but many industrial and agri worlds rely indirectly on corpse starch trade, too. In an emergency, how else do you feed a regiment on a besieged forge world? Often, Chartist captains, merchant caravans, will carry canned corpse starch as part of their cargo runs, passing through frontier worlds. They might even bring instructions. Just add boiling water, not a drop to waste. A well-run garrison will always keep a crate of corpse starch for when the tithes fall short. In the end, this system works by virtue of necessity. As one Necromundan quip goes, "The delicious ambrosia doesn't grow on trees, it grows on cadavers." It's brutal efficiency. Whether you see it as clever or cruel, the facts are, whole populations have survived that otherwise would have gone hungry or infected. Hunger is a plague the Emperor cannot allow, and so even plague victims get their due post-mortem. Regardless of how distasteful it sounds, literally, death has become a grimdark staple of survival. In this narrative, the dead truly do feed the living. Next time your ration looks gray and chalky, just remember, somewhere a pale consort smiles and makes careful notes about your family portion. In the Imperium of Man, even an expiration of life is just one ingredient in the next meal. And to the citizens who swallow it down, cheered by memes that call it meal replacement paste, it is life itself, served with a side of bittersweet irony.